Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The national 2020 results were released, and it's interesting to find out what they say about the past year. Also want to know what it means in terms of results for new students going into university education. Educational Research Fellow at the University of Johannesburg, Nikki Roberts, joins us on the phone. Very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So first of all, what do we make of these results?
Well, I think we need to congratulate the learners and teachers for managing to keep learning open while schools were closed. They were pretty much protected from a lot of the impact of COVID in that the grade 12s last year were prioritized in terms of access to school and to teachers. And their course is a two-year course, so they got most of their teaching in grade 11. But nevertheless, last year was a really, really tough year. Mm. Took its toll socioeconomically, the psychosocial support
sure.
that many students couldn't access. So I think we need to congratulate both the teachers and the students.
Mm. It was so interesting. I made the comment a little bit earlier on the show as well. A lot of the students that I've interviewed, and I congratulate them on the incredible results, and each and every one of them, I've posed the question, I've asked them what it was like doing writing matric in a COVID year. And the fascinating answer that I got back from each and every one of them was, well, we didn't know anything different. This was our matric year. This is how we know matric. And I wondered if there's a lesson in that for us, because they succeeded. They did incredibly well, but they had no reference point. And maybe sometimes there's our lesson, that we've just got to let go of what we think has to be, just accept what is, because like the matrics, they didn't know any different. And they went ahead, and I think they did incredibly well.
Yeah, I agree with you, Howard. I think we all had to learn new ways of being in the world under the pandemic. I do think that our current matrix, so the class of 2021, we have to watch really carefully. They have also not experienced anything else, but I think we will see widening inequality given who has access to devices and data and who doesn't. With the current group who weren't prioritized last year, which is as important in terms of their teaching year. And then, of course, for me, looking early on, the primary school kids really struggle with any kind of online or remote learning. And my big concerns are those grade twos and threes who haven't learned to read and have lost confidence in their math. So I do think we'll have knock-on effects from the pandemic, which we'll see in the years to come. But I think we can be proud of the class of 2020, and just urge your listeners, please, to thank a teacher.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so many teachers have been teaching in the same way for a number of years, and all of a sudden, without any warning, really, they were just asked to turn everything completely around and try different methods in a space that they weren't comfortable.
Absolutely. And that's where I see and worry about our inequality. So we're working with schools in Eastern Cape. We're just trying to get an SMS messaging service set up for parents is a real challenge, you know, not having the cell phone numbers of the parents, which you would expect to be in place in all schools. That's not the case in many of our rural schools. And then in urban environments, getting people onto Google Classroom and managing how things work, I think the teachers have done an exceptional job.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see that the matric results looking at the bachelor's passes have actually improved in terms of narrowing inequality. I don't know if you know, but for every 5 learners who got a bachelor's pass from fee-paying schools, 7 got a bachelor's pass from no-fee schools. Last year, so it's 5-6. So we have actually further narrowed inequality. But my worry is if we don't address the infrastructure, free zero-rated data for education, in the coming years, we'll see a regression in that.
The University of Johannesburg is one of the environments, and we often chat to you guys because I am so, and I have been so impressed at the way the whole university has geared itself towards remote learning, combination of remote learning, just really given itself the ability to continue to educate students through all difficult and different types of times. This is definitely something built into the culture, isn't it?
Definitely, and thank you for the compliment. I think my colleagues have done an exceptional job, the same way as the teachers, in shifting onto online, but also an aggressive understanding of the need for devices and data. So free data and data allocated to our students has been critical to make sure that we don't just teach to the top third who have all of that at home. And so I think the university is to be complimented on on how it's handled things. I miss the face-to-face. I don't want to stay here.
And so say all of us, absolutely.
So we do hope for, by the end of this year, getting something of a bit of face-to-face. But I think we have learned about how to manage remote learning. And I think with, young adults, the ability to study independently is quite established now. It's the little kids that I worry about, and their parents, because I think they must be going nuts.
Yeah, they're for sure, certainly friends of ours with young kids. I think that is the most difficult, because there's no outlet. There's very, very little outlet for the kids. Certainly we are parents of teenagers, and that comes with its own challenges, because the social outlet there is also, and the development of their own identity alongside their friends is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
And this has obviously become a major challenge.
Absolutely. And I think schools play such an equalizing role, in making sure that people whose homes aren't conducive to learning are supported and do have the opportunities that others have. And so when schools are closed, it's a real concern for our students living in poverty. I do see the CRAMS data. I don't know if you've seen that around hunger.
No.
And stunting. But that's a really big worry for me, that we have increasing levels of hunger and of stunting as a result of the epidemic and the economic downturn. Now, as educators, we're going to see the effects of that in 10, 15 years' time when we're trying to get children who haven't had adequate nutrition through matric.
To some extent, don't you think that the pandemic has really forced educators on every level to look at the whole educational ecosystem very differently to how they might have looked at it before? Before, you could afford to be, not you, one could afford to be complacent and just do which they have always done. Now that was no longer a privilege, and everything has to be re-looked at.
I think so. And one of the key issues for me is the greater, I call it, joined up government services. Where you see the effect of not having school meals and schools having to be, it's one of the key points of contact between our citizens with young children and government, and having to be the place where you get reliable information, where you can access Wi-Fi, I hope. And that's where we need aggressive investment into our nursery schools to be offering Wi-Fi and free data. But also for the distribution of food and some of the psychosocial support that's needed for the trauma that all of our children have gone through. So I think the trauma with regard to not going to school and not being in an equalizing and healthy space, but also loss in families, in losing teachers or principals. So it's been a really difficult year, and I think that role of the school as a hub of government services, and that's joined up, is really important, and I hope that we sustain that going forward.
And I think what you're referring to in terms of loss, although you're referring to the loss of loved ones, there's also tremendous loss in terms of many of the kids with regard to the normality of childhood that is now just out the window. When you see a little 2-year-old walking up to, or a 3-year-old walking up to a table, I saw this on Saturday at the entrance of the synagogue, walking up to the table, taking the hand sanitizer, using it's funny, but it actually can break your heart.
No, absolutely. And you wonder about their facial recognition skills, because they're seeing everybody with a mask. And I do find it endearing that they so obviously copy everything we do, with anything being a potential fire hydrant, like anything, not fire hydrant, sanitizer.
Yeah.
I saw a meme about a fire hydrant being confused with the sanitizer. And then also, copying the things that we do. So I think there have been benefits in some families for just more family time, dad being at home and having time with children in more meaningful ways. But again, that cuts across society in so different ways depending on socioeconomics. And so I do think we have to aggressively keep up with our pro-poor policies to make sure that every school is a hub for reliable information, psychosocial support, food, and learning.
Absolutely right. And Nikki Roberts, Education Research Fellow at the University of Johannesburg. We were talking about the National 2020 results that have just been released, what they say about the past year and what lies ahead for those who are involved in the educational process. Nikki, thank you for taking the time to speak to us. A fascinating conversation.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.